listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you on this D-Day. Thanks so much for being with us. Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. How the heck are you? Miller and Moulton here on the Florida Sports Network. Hope your week got off to a good start. Certainly better than the Florida Panthers week has gotten off to. Woo-hoo! Morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you are right. It has been a rough start for the Florida Panthers. They were shellacked last night. They were out-efforted. They were undisciplined again. And by the way, their goaltender played like crap. Other than that, it was a wonderful game for him.
I don't think this 9-day layoff has impacted them at all.
Not one bit. Bobrovsky looks human again.
Right.
They're taking dumb penalties, and they're getting beat to seemingly every loose puck.
Right. And seemingly, by the way, if the pass goes into the slot or the high slot for Vegas, there's a teammate there who's not checked, and he's got a point-blank opportunity. 5-2 was followed up by 7-2. Ouch. All right. In football, there's the Super Bowl era. In baseball, it really begins in 1969. That's when they went to two divisions in each league. It wasn't just the NL champion and the AL champion went straight to the World Series. Beginning in 1969, you had to win your division. You had to win a five-game LCS. So, you know, Super Bowl era began, what was it, the 66 season? Baseball, the 69 season. Hockey is 67. You know, the NBA is the merger in the mid-70s, NBA, ABA. In hockey, they talk about in the expansion era. And I believe was it fall of 67? It was 67, 68, the first expansion year. It was either 67 or 68. But that's since then. 34 teams, Mark, have trailed 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. How many of the 34 have come back to win Lord Stanley's Cup?
8.
Lower.
4.
Much. Even lower. Only 3 of the 34 have come back in the expansion era, have come back to win the Stanley Cup when down 2-0. And one of them was very early in the expansion era, rookie Ken Dryden backstop Montreal to a 7-game series win over, I believe, Chicago in 71. But then, Mark, it's happened twice this century. 09 Penguins, painful for you. They did it to your Wings. And the 2011 Bruins. The difference, Mark, is the Penguins lost the first two games in Detroit 3-1 and 3-1. Boston lost the first two games in Vancouver 1-0 and 3-2 in overtime. Panthers have been beaten 12-4.
And the score is indicative of how the play has been. I mean, that's the, you know, sometimes blowouts happen. Sometimes there's just an off night and you get beat. But these scores are pretty indicative of how the game is going. There's not one area that you can look at the Florida Panthers and say they have been better than Vegas in this series. Not one.
What are you trying to get at, Mark?
If they somehow miraculously can find themselves with a couple of days off here before game 3.
Right.
And make this a series. Then Paul Maurice is pulling the rabbit out of the hat the way the first two games have gone. Because literally, you know, you've said before the show, we've talked briefly, okay, there's one positive. Tkachuk scored. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's it.
Only because he was held off the score sheet in game 1. And the thought is, you know, Bob and Tkachuk have been the two best players in the playoffs. Bob obviously has not brought his A game. In fact, he's not even brought his B game. And Tkachuk scored in the third period. Okay. That's kind of like, you know, you're going out, you're shooting 94, but you happen to birdie 16 on the way in. You're sitting there having that tuna fish sandwich and a beer, and it's not tasting or going down that good, but you're looking at the scorecard going, you know, it was a nice 5-iron and a 16. I got to give myself that. I suck, but that was a nice 5-iron.
The problem is after that birdie on 16, they've kind of gone double-double to finish it out, if you know what I mean. It's not birdieing. It's not like they won a third period, and you can point to the third period last night and say, ooh, right, there's the formula.
Right.
Because seemingly every time they scored a goal, they gave one up just as quickly last night in the third period.
So the Panthers unable to do what the Heat were able to do. And so we've got ourselves an NBA Finals, and right now we're wondering whether or not the series will even get back to Vegas. Panthers got swept the first time they were in the finals. Come on, boys, win a game. I mean, you know, Brooks Koepka needs a reason to put on the jersey. Come on now. But Miller and Moulton, yesterday, one of my favorite days of the year for me and about two other people, and I don't know who the two other people are. But the list for the College Football Hall of Fame came out yesterday.
Well, you know what, David? At least you got to what the reason was yesterday was a good day, because I was afraid it was either French Open quarters, Monday of the college baseball regionals. I really didn't know where you were going, or the semifinals of the College World Series in softball. I didn't know which of those three you were going to pick, and you pulled the College Hall of Fame out, so at least I know where you're going. Usually this gets you upset because there's a name on the list that you have no idea why it's there or why they haven't been inducted already.
Well, you know how we talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame and we go, you try to narrow these 25 down to 15, never mind the 15 down to 6. Good luck. Mark, there are 78 players and 9 coaches that are nominated. 78 players and 9 coaches. And I got to be honest, if I rattled off the names, 50 plus of them, you'd go, oh, wow. And obviously, I mean, they don't put in 30. I mean, they put in like 12. But the whole who can be nominated as a coach, I mean, there's criteria it's controversial. First off, you have to be a first-team All-American. If you were never a first-team All-American in college football, then you are never to be nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame. And you would be surprised the players who were never first-team All-American, who for whatever reason were only second-team All-American. Therefore, they never get nominated. But also, there's a winning percentage minimum for coaches. And I believe it's 600.
Mike Leach did not meet that threshold.
By like one game, I think. Also, Howard Schnellenberger, barely over 500. And the College Football Hall of Fame will not take up his candidacy. And meanwhile, you know, like, oh boy, who's he was an A&M coach in the 90s and early 2000s. You know, nice guy, you know, went 9-3 every year, you know, but I mean, no one ever thought he was a Hall of Fame coach in the Hall of Fame. Like, let me ask you this. Is Mark Richt the Hall of Fame coach? Because by winning, I mean, Mark Richt's going to get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, when you look
at... No, I know, and I think I think there's a strong case for Mark Richt to get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Percentage-wise, it's a dunk. For the
percentage-wise, it's a dunk. Definitely a dunk. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, there's just a lot of... Also, Mike Vick nominated.
He's a College Football Hall of Famer.
Well, I think so. He's the most dynamic college football player I've ever seen in person. I mean, I'm not saying he was better than Herschel or Bo, but in person, I've never seen anybody better. I mean, he was on the same field with Peter Warwick, and he was the best player on the field. But he only played 2 years, And let's face it, what you do after college, Mark, it's not supposed to matter. Come on. It matters. Most of the time, it matters in a good way for these guys. A lot of them were even better in the pros than they were in college. And you're like, oh, hell, we got to put them in the Hall of Fame. But in Vic's case, obviously, you know, there is that the whole dog thing and going to prison thing. And so if you're the College Football Hall of Fame, you want Mike Vick in your Hall of Fame? I mean, that's one of those in which it's either a slam dunk or slam the door, right?
And it's a slam dunk to me. If you want your Hall of Fame to be relevant, unless there's a criteria that if things that you did post-college make you a bad person, you are no longer eligible for our Hall, which I don't remember seeing. Big thing is being on an All-American team. How would you not include him? And I'm not getting into the dogfighting. He wasn't a good person.
Right.
Don't know if he really rehabilitated or not. I don't care. You're asking me a question of does he deserve to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. To me, it's a slam dunk yes.
Like Cam Newton, I don't believe has yet to be nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame. You going to put him in? Now, he was in college more than 1 year, but not much. Can you have a College Football Hall of Fame and not, I mean, can you name five guys who had a better season than Cam Newton had in 2010? In the history of the sport, can you name five guys who had a better year? And is that enough? Is 1 year enough?
Well, if it's the College Football Hall of Fame, didn't he win the JUCO title too? That's college.
That's true.
I mean, you want to, he's got two titles.
It is true. He went back to back. He did. And Gator fans still, hate him. They mention the stolen every time they can. They hate Urban and they hate Cam. But so anyway, I was just because they teased me, Mark, on Friday. They sent out the email that said, hey, on Monday, we're going to have the list. I'm like, oh, okay.
Now, wonder you didn't get a good night's sleep last night. You were up all night going over the Hall of Fame list.
I was debating Brad Culpepper's candidacy. Couldn't get it out of my head. I mean, I know he's a first-team All-American lawyer in Tampa, but, and I know he was a two-time first-team All-American with the Gators, but is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. Miller and Moulton.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Past the hour, Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Starting five in a little more than 15 minutes, David Sampson, 40 minutes from now. Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Hey, don't look now. But you know those few shekels that we told everybody to put on the Marlins? You know, with everything that's going on? FAU, the Canes basketball, Panthers, Heat. And we said, well, hell, don't you have to put money on the Marlins? And for that matter, start placing your bets on the Dolphins right now. Playoffs? Hell, that's done. If you're playing sports in South Florida, it's just a matter of how far are you going. Well, Mark, I don't know what to tell you. The Marlins are four games above 500. They're like the five seed right now in the National League playoffs.
And spotted the Royals a 4-0 lead yesterday, come back and win 9-6. Arise with, 17 hits yesterday? He's batting .399 now.
Oh, my gosh.
3-for-4, drove in two, scored two. Yeah, .399 he's hitting. By the way, they got him batting leadoff. Hey, it's working. It's working. I mean, I will say, not necessarily the guys behind him are getting the job done. He's barely scored as many runs as Kyle Schwarber, who's hitting .171. But .399. Man. makes last year with the Twins when he won the batting title hitting like 318, makes it look like, you know, that was a junior varsity. But I don't know. You know, we've been talking about the Rays since day one. We were live opening day outside the Trop. We've been on the Rays wagon before they threw their first pitch. I think Mark has them going. What, did you go World Series or LCS?
World Series.
And I got them losing to the Braves in the World Series. I mean, we are both all in on the Rays. But we mocked Felipe. Mocked when he said, you know, I think the Marlins are going to be right around 500. Ah, what do you know? You homer. Just press the buttons. Get us on the air, will you? Go get a coffee. What do you know?
Still a lot of ball left.
There is, say. But they're taking advantage of the soft spots in their schedule. Yes. They're doing the same thing that the Rays have done. Now, the Rays obviously have done it much better, but you've got to beat the teams that you're better than. They swept the A's. They beat the Royals in the first game of this series. That's how you... There aren't that many good teams in baseball. There really are not. And at the end of the day, if you can just beat the teams, win the series against the bad teams, hold your own against everybody else, then, Felipe, you may be right that maybe they are a 500 team. We knew they had the pitching. Could they hit the ball?
It's just like in the NFL. Win bad games and you'll make the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, in baseball, you know, Mark, one of the hockey coaches that you were around early in your broadcast career, you know, what was it, his slogan?
Just beat the teams that are underneath you in the standings. If you keep beating the teams that are underneath you in the standings, pretty soon there won't be anybody underneath you in the standings, or anybody above you in the standings, rather. A lot to that.
Yeah, and the Marlins, you know, having one of those homestands right now, 5-2 on the homestand. Good for them. Four games above 500. Got a bunch of, I mean, Mets, Phillies, Padres, all struggling. Hey, maybe it's one of those years. Three teams combined spending about $800 million on their payroll. Marlins spending about $90 million. Oh, okay. And the funny thing is, their Cy Young pitcher, I mean, is not pitching well.
And you're being kind.
Right. I mean, I think his ERA is around 5. What's he, like 2-5 or something like that on the year? I mean, you know, unbelievable. So... Just felt the need to point that out.
I mean, that is the one part of this, David. If you would have said that Alcantara was pitching as poorly as he is and they would still be above 500, then, I mean, I don't even think Philly would have been making the prediction for the Marlins to be where they are without their star pitching being a star, and he's not been.
Nope. But all the guys that they brought in last year, they brought in like 3 bats last year, and they all stunk. They all either got hurt or stunk or both. And basically, you know, Kim Ang's only got so much money to work with. So she went out and she got like one more bat. Basically said to the 3 guys she brought in last year, I really need you to come through this year. Jorge Soler, I'm looking at you. Okay? You guys need to come through this year. Okay? Or we're all going to be out of jobs. Your contracts are up and my contract's up. I'm just saying. And they went, well, okay. Contract year, let's go. So far, it's working. I mean, they responded, Mark. I mean, they responded, you know, 72-32 last night in South Florida. They're responding.
And trust me, because that game started early, I caught a few innings of it. The atmosphere is so bad when you're watching the game on TV. You can hear conversations in the crowd. I switched to go to college baseball from the Marlins game because it just was, they were down 4-0 and the atmosphere was just pathetic. I'm like, I'll watch a little college baseball. Where's Duke and Coastal Carolina at?
But again, to do the Marlins dirty like that, nationally televising a game against the Royals, and I know this doesn't have too much effect to it, but the same night as the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wait, well, first off, they picked that, you know, weeks ago, if not before the season started. But what do you mean do the Marlins dirty? Felipe, the fact they televised the Marlins-Royals game, that's not doing them dirty. That's like Wow.
It's a PSA.
Well, no, it's
that they actually have a baseball team, because most people weren't aware. You know, and I'm talking about South Florida.
I'm hyped that they were nationally televised, but like, give me the Phillies or the Dodgers or something.
Well, apparently Monday night's their baseball thing. Like Tuesday is TBS's baseball thing. And so some of the games TBS has given us, it's like, what are you guys contractually obligated to put all 30 teams on? I mean, Monday and Tuesday night baseball on FS1 and TBS is kind of like, you know, old Thursday night football on NFL Network. It's like, well, we're obligated to give you the 2-14 Cardinals. Here they are.
But we'll see if there's an uptick of attendance, if they can continue to play good baseball. Right now, it doesn't look like it. Their attendance is driven by their opposition, not by the Miami Marlins.
Right. They did 31,500 for the three-game series against Oakland. So they drew basically 10-5 for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. And now they just drew 72-32. But they won all four games. You're 4-0 in front of 39,000 total.
Oh, wait. Jazz Chisholm hasn't played since May 13th.
You mean the guy who was on the cover of like...
of MLB The Show.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's see. The guy on the cover of MLB The Show.
Can't right? stay healthy.
And the best pitcher in baseball last year has been their second worst starter.
Right.
And they're in the playoffs.
And will anybody notice?
Right. And does anybody care? They're three out. They're three out. They're closer to the Braves than the Orioles are to the Rays. They're as close to the Braves as I think the Astros are to the Texas Rangers.
I like it when you put it like that.
Son, now see, that's doing them dirty right there. Not televising them on FS1. That's not doing them dirty.
Look at you selling the Marlins.
Yeah.
A hard sell.
This will probably age really poorly, but
are you saying this is not going to be a best of segment? Is that what you're saying?
Not a chance. Miller and Moulton, the starting five, comes up next right here on the Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the top of the hour, David Sampson will join us right after the top of the hour for his weekly appearance on Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. A lot more went on in sports yesterday than I think most of you realized or were even aware of. So it's our job to bring it to you with
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
NHL. Panthers got whooped. And game one, at least, was tied at 2 mid-third. This one, they got shellacked. 7-2 Vegas. They led 2-0 after 1, 4-0 after 2. Jonathan Marchessault, 2 goals and an assist. Brett Howden, 2 goals. Kachuk did score in the third for the Panthers. Bob got pulled 7 minutes into the second period after having given up the first 4 goals. Panthers trying to channel the 42 Leafs, the 66 and 71 Canadians, the 09 Penguins, and the 2011 Bruins. The only 5 teams in the history of the Stanley Cup to lose the first 2 games and come back and win the series. Game 3 Thursday in Fort Lauderdale. Game 3 NBA Finals tomorrow night in Miami. Series tied at 1, Heat and Nuggets. What are the Nuggets? Like 3-point favorites?
Two.
Like them?
Two.
Two? Okay. Baseball, Rays took 3 of 4 from the Red Sox. They beat Boston 4-1. Shane McClanahan, 6 innings, gave up the 1 run. His 9th win of the season. He's the starter in the All-Star game, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to be curious how many Rays are going to be on that All-Star team.
I would like to think it'd be at least four. Rays with three in the fifth to win it. Meanwhile, the Marlins down 4-0 early to the Royals. Come back, beat KC 9-6. That's their fourth win in a row. They're five games above 500. They're three back in the East. They're the five seed in the National League playoffs right now. Huh? First round series with the Dodgers. Comparable payrolls there. Luis Arraez. Three more hits, two more RBIs. He's hitting 399. Can you start marketing him? You know, come to see him. And I don't know, if you're hitting 400 in June, might be worth the price of admission, right? Houston 6 in the first, beat Toronto 11-4. With the Reds beating the Brewers 2-0 and Pittsburgh rallying to beat Oakland 5-4, the Pittsburgh Pirates, ladies and gentlemen, are in first place on D-Day. That's right. The Pirates are in first. The Marlins are a wild card team, and the Pirates are in first. A couple of notes in those games. Andrew Abbott made his major league debut for the Reds. He threw 6 one-hit innings. How about that for a debut? And the A's, Mark, have now lost 15 straight on the road. 15 in a row. That's five series. It's nearly, that's two full weeks.
David, they're 12 and 50. Staggering. 12 and 50 in baseball.
That's less than 200. They're losing more than 8 out of every 10 games.
Their run differential through 62 games is minus 213.
60 runs worse than the best run differential in baseball, which is Texas. Texas is plus 153. They got a run in the ninth to beat the Cardinals yesterday, 4-3. Marcus Simeon's hit streak is 24. Just think, if he can get it all the way to the weekend, he'll be halfway to DiMaggio. Aaron Nola took a no-no into the seventh. Phillies beat the Tigers 8-3. And Gary Sanchez got picked up on waivers a week ago. He's homered three times for the Padres since they picked him up. San Diego beat Chicago 5-0. The Cubs, that is. All right, college baseball. This was win and you're in the Super Regionals, lose and you go home. The Gators played their way into the Super Regional for the first time in 5 years. They shut out Texas Tech 6-0. They'll take on South Carolina next. Meanwhile, LSU beat Oregon State. Kentucky beat Indiana. LSU and Kentucky will meet in a Super Regional. Super Regionals are best of three. They're either Friday through Sunday or Saturday through Monday, depending on your schedule. Southern Miss beat Penn. They'll face Tennessee next. Duke beat Coastal Carolina 12-3. Duke will play Virginia. TCU caught a huge break. First off, they earned it. In fact, that they beat Arkansas twice, including 12-4 yesterday, to win the regional. But Indiana State, Mark, was supposed to host the region, the Super Regional. Their Indiana State there, Terre Haute, they're hosting the Special Olympics this weekend. They don't have enough hotel rooms. They don't have enough people. So TCU gets to host Indiana State in the Super Regional. That's nice. Stanford beat A&M, so it'll be Stanford against Texas. The interesting thing about that, Mark, is that apparently those are the top two schools for that season-long Learfield Cup, and they think the winner of the Super Regional, Stanford or Texas, is going to determine who wins the Learfield Cup as best athletic department in the country. So Wake's going to play Alabama. Oregon's also going to play Oral Roberts. Those are going to be your eight Super Regional, six SEC teams, three ACC remain out of the 16. College softball, Oklahoma swept Stanford, took extra innings, 4-2 and 9. They've won 51 straight, and now Florida State will take their shot. The third-ranked team in the country, they beat Tennessee again, 5-1 the final, hitting three homers. So beginning tomorrow, a best of three, Florida State and Oklahoma for the College Softball World Series title, best two of three. Oklahoma looking for a three-peat. They're 59-1. They've won 51 in a row.
Do the Noles get a game?
Yes. I've watched them. They're good.
Yeah, I know.
And Oklahoma's needed extra innings to win two games in this College World Series. I think Florida State will get one. I do. All the pressure on Oklahoma, but then again, it's in Oklahoma City. A little bit of a home field advantage here. NFL news. After Ed Oliver was signed to an extension, the Bills signed Leonard Floyd to a one-year deal yesterday. 31-year-olds had nine or more sacks in three straight seasons. Cowboys released former Gator wide receiver Antonio Callaway following a traffic stop a couple of weeks ago in Miami. He was driving on a suspended license. See, if you're a starter or even a key reserve, you can get away with that. When you're trying to make the team, they're like, yeah, we're done with you. Bills also broke ground, Mark, on their new stadium yesterday. They're trying to move into it in 3 years. And they say it's going to be close. I mean, you know, they need fall of 26 is $1.5 billion stadium. No roof, by the way. $1.5 billion does not get you a roof in upstate New York. And finally, Colts cornerback Isaiah Rogers is being investigated for, well, gambling, including on Colts games last year. He came out overnight and said, I had a lapse in judgment. So I guess he's admitting to it.
Which means you've had a lapse in your career because it's over.
Well, for at least a year. But, you know, we'll see. He was a starter, by the way. He was going to be one of their two starting corners, final year of his rookie deal. French Open, there's one American left at six seed on the women's side, Coco Gauff. She's through to the quarters, where tomorrow she'll face the top seed, Swiatek. Today, Alcaraz and Djokovic are playing their quarterfinal matches. I don't think they're scheduled to meet till the final, Mark. I think Joker avoids the top seed until the final. Of course, why Joker is not the top seed, that's a good question. College Football Hall of Fame nominees came out yesterday. 78 players and 9 coaches. Here are the Florida players and coaches. You all decide yourselves. Is this a College Football Hall of Famer, yay or nay? Jerome Brown. Brad Culpepper. Ken Dorsey, Warwick Dunn, Darren Smith, a Canes linebacker on the 89 and 91 championship teams, Peter Warwick, and Larry Coker, nominated as one of the 9 coaches. Others, and listen, there are 50 players and coaches that if I named them, you'd go, oh yeah, I know, I remember him. But Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Vick, both nominated for the first time. Why it took him this long to nominate Fitzgerald in particular. You have to be 10 years removed from college. Yeah, he's 20. And Frank Solich, Tommy Tuberville, Mark D'Antonio joined Larry Coker on the list of Division I-A coaches nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame.
Interesting. You know, I think Coach D will get in for Michigan State. I
do too.
What he did there, that run that he made, they'll never do that again.
Right. Right. At Michigan State, that's a Hall of Fame run right there.
You're damn right it is.
I mean, you know, you think there were 5 other guys in the business at that time that would have done that? I mean, listen, Nick couldn't wait to leave for LSU. Okay. That's not an easy job. It's like, get me out of here. And when asked why, he said, they're not the most popular school in their state. Meanwhile, I'm going to, that we own our state. We're more popular than the NFL team. So, you know, Tuberville's resume is interesting. He's an interesting dude.
Yes, he is. And I think his ability to be so interesting will either keep him out or they'll ignore it altogether.
I think it will hurt him. I think his political career will hurt him when it comes to the College Football Hall of Fame. I actually think he would have had a better chance of getting in if he wasn't the sitting senator from Alabama. Frank Solich, by the way, forget just what he did at Nebraska replacing Tom Osborne. But Frank Solich, the all-time winningest coach in MAC football history. I mean, he coached like 15-plus years there at Ohio. Won a bunch of games. Just throwing that out. One other note, Jim Hines, he was the very first male to break 10 seconds in the 100 meters. He won the gold medal in the Mexico City Games in 68 at 9.95. That record was not broken till 1984. Usain Bolt's at like 9.58 right now. So you think about it. They've clipped a third of a second off what Jim Hines did in 68. Gold medalist in the 100 meters also led us to a 4x100 meter relay gold. And then followed Bob Hayes to the NFL. Had a cup of coffee with both the Dolphins and the Chiefs. Jim Hines died yesterday at the age of 76. And at 9 minutes before the hour, gentlemen, that was...
That was the Starting Five every weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
Later on in the show, we will do a full segment on the longest day in golf. Didn't have time to get into it right now because you can't just scratch the surface about everything that happened and tried to happen in U.S. Open qualifying yesterday at like 13 locations all over the country. Because it was fascinating. And it really is. You could not be into golf. And the storylines yesterday from U.S. Open qualifying are awesome.
It's taken over. You and I used to love Q School.
Yes.
And getting to 125 and keeping your card is still a big deal. But golf's longest day does deliver. And I will say the Golf Channel does a hell of a job. They stick around all day. They've got people at every location. They try to give you highlights. They do a really good job of covering it.
Good.
Hey, there's a lot that they don't do right. They do that right.
I'm with you. Well said. All right. One note, Michael Block missed qualifying by 2 shots, but he played really well. He finished 6th in his qualifier, but they only took top 3. He was 2 shots out of the playoff. Played 36 holes, 5 under.
Yeah, I think he was 1 under on his first 9. He was struggled to 2 or 3 over on his first 9 and then played really well for 27 holes. His son, however, not the same luck. Did have a rough day trying to qualify in L.A. as he was 5 over early and had a rough go of it. But pretty cool that a father and son both trying to qualify for the U.S. Open in 2 different spots on the same day.
And there was a golfer who had a decision to make yesterday. Play in the U.S. Open or turn pro. A little bit later on in the show, we'll tell you what he decided and ask you what decision you would have made. David Sampson, next on Miller and Moulton, Florida Sports Network.